John Batchelor. I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, my guide on the Russian economy under severe sanctions, sanctions that no nation can stand up to for very long, condemning the Russian economy in decades to troubles, except headline in the Financial Times, almost no Russian oil is sold below $60 cap, say Western officials. Subhead, allies discuss ways to tough it up, key sanction, as Moscow circumvents limits on seaborne crude. Michael, a very good evening to you. We know about the ghost fleet. We know about smuggling. How do they beat the $60? And is it something that that can be countered by Treasury? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. And my position is that we should just let it slide. And I will explain why. Russian companies, exporters, are selling under $60 in the system called FOB, free on board. So at every port, they sell and they record under $60. And that's how they pay taxes on. Then they sell it to traders. Traders are middlemen. Some of them are affiliated with Russian exporters. There are Russians living in Dubai. Others are global middlemen, traders from all these countries. They add the freight and insurance costs. And then they sell at the world market price with a discount because the quality of the Russian main Russian oil Urals is a bit lower. And the current today, the Ministry of Finance of Russia published the new data, and this Russian oil sells about $9 below the Brent North Sea oil. So that's the market price. The problem is that the difference between the price cap and the market price is not pocketed by the Russian government, is not pocketed by the budget. So the sanctions work. It is pocketed by private entrepreneurs. Some of them are Russians, some of them are global middlemen. But generally, the Russian budget, if you look at the budget statistics, it does not benefit from the rising price of oil. It does not benefit from the fact that people on the market learned how to sell oil at the world market prices. It goes into private pockets. And therefore, this effort of trying to enforce the sanctions, enforce the price caps, trying to kind of squeeze them. It's a fool's errand, because what you will do, you will push the private entrepreneurs into new loopholes. They will find new ways. There will be more chain supply chain. But generally, the oil flows into the market, and the revenues don't flow to the Russian budget, and that's what is designed.
European officials are concerned that some Western insurance providers have been given false declarations from Russian oil companies or traders, which must provide written assurance the crude is priced below $60. One mechanism by which this false information has been achieved is by inflating shipping costs. These are clever smugglers, and I presume there's no advantage for the insurance companies to challenge them. It's going on everywhere.
Well, everyone benefits from the sanctions. People who use the sanctions to make themselves rich. There are lots of traders. Now the information is that in Dubai, thousands of new trading desks are open. Many of them occupied by the Russians. And they're selling oil to whoever will buy them using this ghost fleet, using all these used tankers. And the important thing is, this money does not go to the Russian government.
We move to another way smugglers are taking advantage, and that's microchips. In place before the Russian invasion of Ukraine were smugglers who were, let's put it this way, clever businessmen, not smugglers, who were handling microchips cut rate, moving them around shell company after shell company. The sanctions come along, and I'm presuming they got richer, Michael, because when there are barriers to selling microchips, those who can sell them without having to worry about customs will make even more money. I don't see sanctions in any fashion interrupting this market, Michael.
Sanctions created new market niches for lots of clever entrepreneurs. Russians are receiving all the imports that were banned, but they are paying more. The ironic situation is that the Russian budget also benefits because the value-added tax, which is a consumption tax, is now levied on more expensive goods. So the Russian public is paying for the sanctions, but otherwise, the amount of imports, according to the government statistics, the nominal value in dollars has increased in the 9 months of 2023 by 9%. The real value might have declined, but imports have become more expensive. There is another side to it. Since imports are more expensive and the Russian exports do not receive, the Russian exports are lower, then, of course, the Russian government has less money to service its external debt. That's the problem, that they have to pay their external debt.
But they're getting the microchips they need, is my assumption that this headline in the Financial Times, the shadowy network smuggling European microchips into Russia. It's a question of price, not if. Is that correct?
Right. It is a question of price. And what happened that the other beneficiary are all former Soviet republics, now independent states in Central Asia and the Caucasus, where they all speak Russian, they can do business with Russia, and they created this middleman business there.
A third way that the Russians are gaming sanctions. U.S. seeks to thwart Russia's ambition to become major LNG exporter. You will all recall that Germany is living and day-to-day on LNG, mostly from the U.S. The subhead, Washington has for the first time added Russian liquefied natural gas to sanctions linked to the war in Ukraine. Is there reason to believe this will be more successful than the oil, Michael?
Here is the problem. The European market, European Union market, has its LNG 42% from the United States, 19% from Russia, and 12% from Qatar. So what they're trying to do is to cut off Russia and to increase their supply from the United States and Qatar because the capacity is there. Now the technology allows to produce a lot of LNG. Russia we used to provide LNG in 2021 about 48 billion cubic meters of gas, the equivalent in the form of metric tons of LNG. In 22, it's about the same. But now it is down. It's already down. The Russian LNG factories don't receive sufficient technology, and the market is reducing. In the 9 months of 2023, it's 4.9%. The projection for the full year to 2023 is it will be down by 3.8%. Now the idea is to ban the new LNG factories, new LNG plants in 2023, the Arctic 2 and the Yamal from selling LNG to Europe, and that's the matter of the sanctions. So the Europeans will replace Russian LNG by American and from Qatar.
That's the plan. I want a summary here. Oil, microchips, and LNG. Is this working as sanctions were expected, or are there surprises here? We've got 30 seconds, Michael.
Well, there are lots of surprises, but the main surprise is that markets win, the Russian government loses, and the sanctions are working to the extent that the Russian budget does not receive sufficient revenues.
Michael Bernstam reporting on the sanctions regime on the Russian Federation during the conflict in Ukraine, which is likely to continue into 24. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.